Hello and welcome to this GCSE Geography Revision podcast on the Living World. I'm here to guide you through one of the most fascinating topics in your OCR specification, ecosystems, biomes, and how humans interact with our planet's living systems. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll explore small-scale ecosystems right here in the UK, journey to the steamy tropical rainforests of Amazonia, and venture to the frozen polar regions. More importantly, I'll show you exactly what examiners are looking for and how to turn your knowledge into top marks. Whether you're revising for paper one or preparing for a case study question, this podcast will give you the specific facts, figures, and evaluation skills you need. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's dive into the living world. Let's start with the fundamentals. An ecosystem is a community of living organisms. That's the biotic components, interacting with non-living elements, the abiotic components, in a specific environment. Think of it as nature's perfectly balanced system. For OCR, you need to study a small-scale ecosystem. This could be a UK pond, a hedgerow, or a woodland. Let's use a pond as our example. The biotic components include fish, frogs, insects like dragonflies, aquatic plants like water lilies, and microscopic algae. The abiotic components are water itself, sunlight, oxygen dissolved in the water, temperature and nutrients in the sediment. Here's the crucial concept: interdependence. Everything in an ecosystem relies on everything else. If you remove one component, the whole system can collapse. For example, in our pond, algae photosynthesize using sunlight and produce oxygen. Fish breathe that oxygen. When plants and animals die, decomposers break them down, releasing nutrients back into the water and sediment. Those nutrients feed the algae, and the cycle continues. This is nutrient cycling, and examiners love to see you explain these connections. Now let's scale up to global biomes. You need detailed knowledge of two contrasting biomes, tropical rainforests and polar regions. Tropical rainforests are found along the equator between the tropics of Cancer and Capricorn. Your case study should be specific. The Amazon rainforest is ideal. Climate-wise, temperatures are consistently high, 25 to 30 degrees Celsius year-round, with no distinct seasons. Rainfall is phenomenal, 2,000 to 3,000 millimeters annually. This creates the perfect conditions for the most biodiverse ecosystem on Earth. The vegetation is stratified into layers. At the top, emergent trees tower up to 50 meters high. Below that, the dense canopy forms a continuous roof at around 30 meters. Then comes the understory with smaller trees and shrubs, and finally the dark forest floor where little grows due to lack of light. Trees have adapted with buttress roots for stability in thin soil, drip-tip leaves to shed excess water, and smooth bark to prevent epiphytes, plants that grow on other plants, from taking hold, though many do anyway. Here's a critical point for exams. The soil in tropical rainforests is actually nutrient poor. Most nutrients are stored in the biomass, the living plants and animals, not in the soil. When leaves fall, they decompose incredibly rapidly due to high heat and humidity. Nutrients are released and immediately absorbed by shallow tree roots. It's a closed system with rapid nutrient cycling. If you remove the vegetation through deforestation, the soil quickly becomes infertile due to leaching, heavy rain washing nutrients away. This is why cleared rainforest land often fails for agriculture after just a few years. Now to the opposite extreme, polar regions. You could focus on Antarctica or the Arctic tundra. Climate here is brutal. Temperatures range from minus 40 degrees in winter to a maximum of 10 degrees in summer. Precipitation is less than 250 millimeters per year, making polar regions cold deserts. There's extreme seasonal variation, 24 hours of daylight in summer, 24 hours of darkness in winter. Vegetation is sparse. In Antarctica, ice sheets cover 98% of the continent, so there's virtually no plant life. In the Arctic tundra, you'll find mosses, lichens, and low-growing shrubs that can survive the short growing season. Biodiversity is very low compared to rainforests. The soil is permafrost, permanently frozen ground. Only a thin, active layer thaws in summer, allowing limited plant growth. Adaptations here are all about survival. Animals like polar bears have thick blubber and fur for insulation. Many species migrate or hibernate. Plants grow low to the ground to avoid wind and maximize heat absorption from the limited sunlight. Right, let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. OCR examiners are looking for specific case study details, not generic descriptions. Don't just say tropical rainforests have high rainfall. Say the Amazon receives over 2,500 millimeters of rain annually, with no month receiving less than 60 millimeters. Names, numbers, and places earn you credit. A huge mistake candidates make is confusing weather with climate. Weather is short-term and daily. Climate is the average conditions over at least 30 years. When describing biomes, always talk about climate. Another common error, failing to distinguish between goods and services provided by ecosystems. Goods are tangible products like timber, fish, or medicinal plants. Services are processes like carbon sequestration, water purification, or climate regulation. High-level answers recognize both. When tackling management questions, categorize strategies into local and global. Local strategies include selective logging, only harvesting mature trees so the canopy remains intact, replanting programs, ecotourism that generates income without destruction, and agroforestry that combines crops with trees. Global strategies include debt for nature swaps, where developing countries' debts are canceled in exchange for conservation commitments, international agreements like CITES that restrict trade in endangered species, and consumer awareness campaigns promoting FSC-certified timber. Here's a top tip. Use the so what rule to develop chains of reasoning. Don't just state facts, explain consequences. For example, deforestation occurs. So what? Soil is exposed. So what? Heavy rain causes soil erosion. So what? Nutrients are lost through leaching. So what? The land becomes infertile and cannot support regrowth. That's the kind of developed explanation that reaches the highest mark levels. Let's test your knowledge with some quickfire questions. Pause after each one and answer out loud. Question 1. What is the term for permanently frozen ground in polar regions? The answer is permafrost. Question 2. Name 3 adaptations of tropical rainforest trees. Answers include buttress roots, drip-tip leaves, and smooth bark. Question 3. What is the difference between biotic and abiotic components? Biotic means living organisms. Abiotic means non-living elements like climate and soil. Question 4. Why is soil in tropical rainforests nutrient poor despite lush vegetation? Because most nutrients are stored in the biomass, not the soil. And rapid nutrient cycling means nutrients are quickly reabsorbed by plants. Question 5. Give 1 example of a global management strategy for tropical rainforests. Answers include debt for nature swaps, CITES, the Antarctic Treaty, or FSC certification schemes. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up. The living world requires you to understand ecosystems at 2 scales. Small-scale UK examples demonstrating interdependence in nutrient cycling and global biomes, tropical rainforests, and polar regions with detailed knowledge of their climate, vegetation, soil, and adaptations. Remember, examiners reward specific case study details. Use names, dates, and statistics. Explain interdependence by showing how components connect. When evaluating management strategies, consider both local actions and global cooperation, and always assess effectiveness rather than just listing options. The key to success in this topic is making connections. Link climate to vegetation, link vegetation to soil, link human activities to environmental impacts, show cause and consequence chains. That's what separates a level 2 response from a level 4. Thank you for listening. Now go and test yourself with practice questions, refine your case study notes, and remember, geography is about understanding how our world works and how we can protect it for future generations. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next podcast.